Okay, in response to the question, should we continue to fast on these four fast days? Right? Actually, they only asked about Tisha B'Av, but Zachariah, by his answer, implies that their question was about all the fast days, including Tzom HaAsiri, which is tomorrow. Not because it's the 10th of the month, but it's because it's the 10th month. Okay, tomorrow is 10-10. Alright. Perek Zayin Pasuk Daled. Vidvar Hashem Tzvakos Elai Lemor. Perek Zayin Pasuk Daled. Okay. Alright, so the question that Zachariah is answering here on this Pasuk is, should we continue to fast even after we rebuild this temple? We've been fasting for the destruction of the first one. Should we continue the fast now that the second one is built? Now, that is a legitimate question. Wouldn't you think so? I compared it last week to a student asking when I'm teaching something in class. He goes, do we have to know this for the test? You know, what is the reason that you're fasting? Are you fasting L'shem Shamayim? Are you fasting because, remember, I compared it last week to the tears of Esav and the tears of Yaakov, remember? L'maisa, let's see how he answers. Emor el kol am ha'aretz vel ha'kohanim lemor. This is what God answers your question about whether or not you should fast. Ki tzamtem b'safod b'chamishi u'v'ashvi'i v'zeshivim shana ha'tzom tzamtuni ani. Did you really fast? Did you fast for me? What was the fasting for? What's the reason for your mournful behavior during this time period? Now, what kind of question is that? My mournful fasting is because I lost my city, I lost my country, I'm in exile, my temple is this. What kind of question is that? Of course they say, I see what you're fasting. Let's see how he continues with his question. What clearly comes out of this, if you read a few psukim in a row, in Hebrew or English, however you feel comfortable, is that the prophet seems to be annoyed with the question. Right? Okay, why were you fasting and bemoaning your state? Rashi understands this to mean, were you fasting from my kavod, or were you fasting just for your own particular losses? Okay, remember how I compared that last week to the Medrash about Esav's tears? Esav cried, it says in the Medrash, two tears. It's twice that he cried. So the Medrash says that all our suffering at the hands of Esav's descendants comes because of those tears. And that's what we have to pay for those two tears. So I think it was it was Hassemes. He says, but what about all the tears that they caused us to cry? The billions of tears that they caused us to cry. So the Hassemes notices that this is a memor of Rabbi Yehuda in the Medrash. And Rabbi Yehuda has a very famous shita when it comes to taruvas, that min b'mino eino batel. Right? If you have butter that falls into a cholent, and the butter is batel b'shishim, it's 50 times the cholent, so you butter it's mutter. Right? But if an unkosher, let's say you have meatballs cooking, you have 1,000 meatballs, and one unkosher meatball falls in, your first inclination is to say it's very batel. But that's only if what fell in is something other than that other stuff. It'll get lost in it. But the meatball doesn't get lost in the meatball. It's the same taste. So min b'mino ain't batel. We don't pass in this way, by the way. We pass in min b'mino is batel b'shishim also.
So it's about
that.
Okay. Three eggs at the same time.
That's a different. That's giving a shear, and Tarubas said go through that. But there's sometimes with batel b'rov, the majority. But here's the point that the system has made, is that the question of why, how come out the billions of Jewish tears haven't been able to drown out Esav's two tears? Right? So the answer is, what is the purpose of those billions of tears? Mamash fits this. Remember, this is Rabbi Yehuda who said this, that Esav's two tears, you know, causes all this grief. He says, if we're crying for the kavod of Hashem, then that's a different type of crying than Esav. Why did Esav cry when he heard that his bracha was taken? What upset him that his bracha was taken? What did he lose? He lost the gashmius. He lost ruling over his brother. He lost having talah shemaim shmanei aretz rov the gondas hirosh. He lost all these things. So now he's upset. So why are we crying? Are we crying throughout this bitter long gullus? Although it's not so bitter for us here, but are we crying in the gullus because of the same problem? I don't have gashmius. I don't have a big house. I have to run from place to place. I'm always in exile. I'm always running from country to country. If that's why Jews are crying throughout the Middle Ages, then you're crying for yourself. That's not going to drown out Esav's tears, because it's the same as Esav's tears. I mean, b'mino, in a bottle. But if you cry at some tuni gamani, you cry for Hashem, you're crying for the covenant of Hashem, you're crying that the Jewish state in the exile is making the goyim see, the God the Jews pray to is not a God, and that the real God doesn't hear the prayers of Jews. If that's why you're crying, then that's a different kind of crying. That'll drown out Esav's tears. So that's what the Navi is telling the people here. What is the nature of your mournful behavior all these years? Okay, so let's continue with Pasuk Vav. Dora, would you take us away here? Pasuk Vav. Hello, I'm sorry. V'yachi tochlu. No. V'yachi tochlu, v'yachi tishtu. Now, please, Zachariah, what are you telling us? And when you eat and when you drink, aren't you the ones who are eating? Aren't you the ones who are drinking? Duh. What are you telling us? It's true. When I eat, I am the one eating. That is true, Zachariah. What's the point? Look at Rashi. He says, what does God get out of your fasting and not eating and drinking? You see, this goes down, I think this is an important message for us to say at any time. You know, what does God get out of my wearing tefillin? What does God get out of any mitzvah that I do? It's important to point out, Hashem is not changed in any way because of the mitzvahs I do. The purpose of the mitzvah is for something for me. Right? To change something in me. Right? Okay? So he's saying that... That's what they should be doing. So he says that the purpose of your fast is not an end unto itself. Right, you know, in the summer camp, so that the kids can finish Tisha B'Av fasting, so they spend the whole afternoon watching movies, they're playing cards, and this is not a fast. I'm not going to say so you might as well eat, but you're losing the forest for the trees, right? So this is what he's saying. What did you actually get out of this fast? Now, again, it's perfectly legitimate to ask the question. They want to know, what's halacha? Should I fast or not? Okay? Let's see. And then we'll have to ask the question, Lamaisa, do we have any proof of what the Jews actually did? Was Asar B'Teves a festival during that time? Okay. Since this is Erev Asar B'Teves, at the end I want to show you a little bit of a Chiddush. Okay, go ahead. Let's go continue to see what I'm saying.
Hello, it's the Golem of the Korachem, the Yatagim, or Rizonim. The Yoshi was the lion with Shevet, the Shrevo.
Okay. Now, when God spoke to the prophets, when Yerushalayim was at peace, and all the cities around her were also at peace, Yerushalayim Harim Saviblo, all the mountains and all the Arei Yehuda, and even the south and the plains were all sitting in peace. Okay. Right, you didn't listen when I spoke to you back then, right? So let's talk now. Let's try to tell you what to do now. All right. So the message is, Vayidbar Hashem el Zechariah lemor. Please, let's hear the ring. Test. Okay, we are reading something for the first time. All the way, chapter 7, verse 9, we're reading something for the first time in this book, which is?
To be nice to
you. Yes, a specific call for tshuva in this book. Everything else until now has been these 13 visions and their messages. True, some of the messages have been you better be a Kiddush Hashem in Chutz Laretz, so that the or in the Golos or through this by Sheni, so that you could be a good representative of God to the world. But here he's just specifically talking to them the way the other Nevi'im do. Now, this is, by all means, please make sure to take this home and read it, because we're going to elaborate on it next week, is that he says that you have to have Mishpat, Emes, right? And we'll see Shalom shortly also. And this is where we have, Emes, Shalom, Ahavu, where Mordechai calls the Divrei Shalom, Emes, Shalachmanos, Yishtarei, Eyu. What is all that? I mean, it's very hunky-dory and nice at the end of the Megillah that we're getting friendly and we're sending shalach manas and we're sending matanos to Rebbe of Yonim. What is it?
Everyone starts saying that they're using the... Here they're talking about establishing a fast after the Torah, and next year they're establishing new holidays, so it has to have some of the same aspects of what's going on in the fight.
Yeah, there's no question that this is trying to connect, that this is connecting to Esther. That Esther is that what Mordechai is trying to teach the people is that if you want to deserve these prophecies of Zechariah, that by his chain you should be this undoing of the fast days, then you have to get into Matanos Levyonim, you have to get into Matanos Lachmanos, you have to get into Divrei Shalom Ve'emes. That's very strange, Divrei Shalom. And the Chazal make a drush out of it, that Divrei Shalom Ve'emes means that the reason why we had to leave God's name out of the Megillat Esther is because the Persians, the same ones that Zechariah is talking to, the Persians who were the ones responsible for Haber Machim, Rabbinei Achstronim, Achstarpanim, all these words that we don't know what it means, who sent out the message of the story throughout the land, right? The satraps and all these guys, right? So they sent out the messages. So if Achashverosh is going to have this message sent out like this, he'd better come across very clearly as the hero, right? Okay, so he better show up very clearly as the undisputed hero. And there's no room in such a situation. This is actually Ben Ezra's explanation. So it's Divrei Shalom Be'emes. For the Persians, it's Divrei Shalom, right? Divrei Shalom means, you know, do it for peace, for purposes of peace, to calm down, stroke them, and it's Divrei Emes for the Jews who will know that God is really behind it. Okay? That's the drash and the Gemara. But the pshat I'm giving from here is no. If we're going to succeed in the aftermath of this story, we have to have what Zechariah called for, which is this Shalom Emes here. And then he gets into very typical Nevi'im Achronim stuff, the Almana, the Asom, the Ger, right? Right, so, please, Chava, would you read it?
I have the Almana, the Yasson, the Geger, the Ani, Al Tashku, the Ra'at Yish, the Ra'at Yish Echav, El
Tachshavu.
Tachshavu
b'levavchem.
Tachshavu.
Even in your heart, you shouldn't even think to do that. Right. So, do not oppress the Alman, the Osam, the Gerva, Ani. Now, you know, this is almost, what kind of statement is this? I mean, you see this in Rav Nevi'im Achronim. Were people really seeking the ill will of these guys? I mean, the fact is that a society where these people are not cared for, you're harming them. You picture this, how evil these people must have been. Let's find a widow that we can oppress. Let's oppress the orphans, right? Okay, and the Torah says, not only treat them fairly, you have to favor them. A society that doesn't favor them is guilty of this. That's all he's saying, right? Does he say don't trick the rich in business? You can't do that either, of course. Mm-hmm. But he's just saying I want you to be extra careful to look after the needs of these people. Okay, redistribute some of the wealth in order to take care of this group. Okay. But by manu lakshiv by itnu kasef sorares, you refuse to to listen, you turned your shoulder around. It means you turned away from this God's name, Hechvidu Mishmo. You made your ears heavy from listening. Okay, that's, you know, there's a Gemara in the Sechasot, at the end of the Sechasot, that says that when someone is found dead between two cities, you have to kill the calf from the neck. It's called Egla Rufa, from the Orif. Because this man might have come up to someone for lodgings and you turned your shoulder and your back, so you hit him right at the shoulders. So here too, you turned your shoulders around, and that's the Lashon that it uses. Okay? Like Am Kshei Oref. Right? The back of the neck is called the Oref. Alright. In fact, Chazal say that the name Orpa in Megillas Rus, she was called Orpa because she turned her neck away from her mother-in-law. Okay. Pasuk, you base, Dan, would you read the base? Ribam?
Ribam, Samu, Samir, Mishmoa, Es HaTorav, Es HaTorim, Asher, Shalach, Hashem, Sivakos, Yerucho, Yad, Hanavim, Rishonim, Baithi, Ezef, Gadol, Me'ez, Hashem, Sivakos.
Okay. This is a terminology used by Yirmiyahu also. Shamir is a diamond. And, you see the Targum says, Vulibhon Shaviu Takif Kishmira. And Takif means you made your heart, your heart as hard as diamonds. You've heard of the heart of stone, right? Mm-hmm. If you said today, oh, he has a heart of a diamond, you might think that, you know, it's a good metaphor, right? That's worse than a heart of stone, right? So, again, that's a terminology used earlier by Yirmiyahu. But you remember the very beginning of this Sefer? Turn right, mamish, to the very beginning. Look at that, I mean, the opening prophecy. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Beis. It relates directly to our pasuk. Can you read it in the Hebrew there? And said the beginning of Zechariah is telling the people that you're just returning from a long, bitter exile, and if you think you're like locked into the destiny of your parents, your elders, and you are just going to repeat their destiny, you're wrong. God was angry with them for what they did, and you do not necessarily need to follow in their footsteps. So he's referring to that ketzef. He ketzef gadol me'is Hashem tzvakos. So we're back at the beginning of the book. There's those 13 visions that we just spent the last 4 months learning are all a digression. We're back in the beginning. How are we going to make this second commonwealth succeed? Hopefully better than the first. Okay. Vayihi kasher kara v'lo shameyu. You understand? You read Gimel?
Vayihi kasher kara v'lo shameyu.
Okay. We called. No one's listening. Right. So you know what? You call me, I'm not listening.
Right?
Mida can make it Mida. When I called you with my prophets, you weren't listening. When you call out to me, I won't listen. Gee, that sounds a little vengeful to me. Sounds like we reap what we sow. What did you say? Okay. Now let's read a Hapax Legomena. Although Sa'ara certainly is a terminology that does appear in the Tanakh. It means a storm. Sometimes with a Samach, sometimes with a Sin.
Neo, right?
What?
Neo, right? Sa'ara.
Well, I'm telling you what.
You're talking about the word Sarah?
Sarah with a Samach, yeah. What do you have in your English?
Storm-tossed? I will cause them to be storm-tossed.
Wow.
Storm-tossed.
Okay, I was scattered would have been just fine.
That's what it has here.
Okay, scattered. Okay, you have scattered. All right, actually, the Targum is Va'avadrinun. Can you figure it out? It's complicated, but it's actually, if you know the Aramaic / Hebrew, va'avadrinun. Aramaic, a bays is a pay, and a dalad is a zayin. Dahav instead of zahav, right? So badar means pazer, which means to scatter. Okay.
So wait, why are you saying that? Why are you saying that the hapav lagamina is fine?
No, no. This hap is going to, in its usage as a verb like this. Storm towards you. That's a pretty unusual word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but it doesn't mean scatter you. Okay. Fine. So Rashi says, but go like I did before, and we'll exile you again. That's a pretty harsh thing to say as you're starting the Second Commonwealth. If you don't listen to me, I'll do to you after this time like I did to you the first time. Right? I mean, Chagai was filled with good messages. I'm going to make this house better than the first one. And if you put everything into it, Okay? Zechariah is tougher. Okay, but the Esau Areim. You're right. If you get cast out of the land a second time, it'll be much worse than the first time. Here we still are, all these years later. Just now starting to rebuild it. So Yasimu Eretz Chemda Lishamo. We turn a land that is wanted to a land that is destroyed. And that's what the Crusades and the Muslims did for so long. What the Christians did as they were controlling it. Okay? Now, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag right now by telling you that Zechariah's answer is, if you do this L'shem Shamayim and it works, beautiful. The reason why I'm annoyed with your question is because it does not look like you're doing this L'shem Shamayim. But if you do, these four fast days will become festivals. And therefore, the 10th of Teves will be a yontif.